in 10 days. Much of the world will celebrate what is known as the Christmas holiday. Much of the world ascribes an unscriptural religious significance to Christmas. And however, this special day can actually have a very debilitating effect upon us spiritually. There are some inherent spiritual dangers wrapped up in the way in which our society observes and celebrates this holiday. There's nothing wrong with enjoying time with family, the gift giving and the food, but let us take care not to let Christmas cripple our Christianity. This morning, as we approach this holiday season, I want to point out three ways in which Christmas can have a disabling effect upon us spiritually and how we can avoid these pitfalls. First, don't let Christmas cripple your contentment in Christ with greed and materialism. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, we find words which seem to be the opposite of those conveyed by many during this season. There are many who worry about what they're going to receive. Some of them worry about how they're going to purchase that which they will give. But what does this passage say? It says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, one might think that Christmas heightens our understanding of the Lord's words, but Christmas often leads people to deny this principle. I know whenever I go into a store, I'm constantly reminded of some possessions I would like to have. And Christmas does indeed provide a way of maybe getting some of them, perhaps if you ask for them. But for most people, television and the internet increases these desires as the corporate giants fill our minds with such ideas as I want, I need, I deserve, and I gotta have. Secondly, there are those who believe that if they could just get that new fill in the blank, they would be happy. And if they're happy, life would be good. And if life's good, then everything's going well. Or maybe, and this is a thought, maybe we could all just get money this year. Then we could go out and buy what we want. They're focused on what I want, you see. Notice in all of these situations, I want, I need, I deserve, and I gotta have, it's all about me. All about what I want. While they, those who are affected this way, buy gifts for others, the most important part of the holiday to them is finding out what they will receive. If this describes us, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 has been violated. Our focus is not to be on the things of this earth, but that which is beyond. And there are many passages throughout God's word that tell us this very thing. Too many people are focused on the here and now. They don't worry about that which is beyond this life. I want to be happy now. And I can be happy now if I have this or if I have that. The passage reads, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will be where your heart be also. We need to understand this is a concept, an idea that was spoken then that applies even today. Those things upon which we place the most importance is what our heart is involved in. If our focus is on me and mine and what I'll get, that's where our treasure is. Unfortunately, all these things that are ours, or so we think, when we leave this earth and when this earth is destroyed, they too will be destroyed. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 provides the reasoning for the words that were given to us in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, which we have just read. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Once we begin laying up treasures on earth, coveting that which others have, focusing on what we want, we are in danger of trying to serve two masters. We cannot serve God and mammon. It's an impossible task, and eventually, and unfortunately, will lead us away from God. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10 explains what we serve when we place money or material possessions above God. It tells us there, "For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." I've heard people misstate this passage many times. I had a fellow tell me that money is the root of all evil, and I said, "You have some." He said, "Yes." I said, "Give it here. I don't want you to be evil." He said, "No, you don't understand." I said, "No, I'm afraid you don't understand. Let's look the passage up." The love of money. In other words, placing the importance upon life and its material gains ahead of God is improper and leads to destruction. In fact, placing importance upon anything ahead of God leads to a terrible demise. There are three steps to avoiding the crippling effects of greed and materialism. According to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, we shouldn't need material things to be happy, to be merry, or to be joyous. Indeed, this is a season in which people will say, they want you to be merry, they want you to be happy, they want you to be joyous, and they will string together phrases during this season. Happy holidays. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." In fact, a man who has God, has obeyed God, therefore is a child of God, and who has none of the world's wealth, is the richest man in the world. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13 also identifies for us the second way to avoid the crippling effect of greed and materialism. The apostle Paul was thanking them for the gift they sent, but he says, as he was guided by the Spirit, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." This does not mean that we find ourselves in a position and we have opportunity to work ourselves out of that position financially, that we cannot do so. But we must keep things in their proper priority. In verse 12, he says, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." If Paul found himself in prison, he didn't bemoan the fact. He preached the gospel to a prisoner or a guard. If he found himself free, he would preach the gospel to all who would hear, saints and sinners alike. And he loved to do so. And he was happy in every case. He was joyous in every case. He was merry in every case, because he knew to do so was serving God faithfully, and broadening the borders of the kingdom. The third way that we might destroy the crippling effects of greed and materialism is to give without expecting anything in return. In Acts chapter 4, verses 34 through 36, in the early church, we see that this was a common occurrence when folks had need. There's a cute commercial on TV. There's two window washers, and they're on two different scaffoldings. And one is coming down and one is coming up. And the one that's coming down has on his little seasonal outfit, if you will. And he reaches a gift across to the other one. And the second window washer receives the gift and gladly does so. And he thinks, "Oh no, I don't have anything to give." But the telling fact is the window washer number one is standing there going like, "Okay, where's mine?" We should give without expecting anything in return. This particular passage in Acts chapter 4, "Neither was there any among them that lacked." Why? For as many as were possessors of lands or of houses sold them, and brought the price of the things which were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. These people gave for the joy of giving because brethren had need. They did so so that their brethren would be provided for. In that particular situation, there were brethren that had traveled many, many miles. Some of them possibly hadn't intended on being there as long as they were, but they heard the word of God. They obeyed the word of God. Some of them continued to follow the apostles, receiving the teaching that they were given. And then we see, as the church continues to grow, that brethren had care one for another without worrying about what they would receive in return. In fact, they did receive the joy of giving. Number two, don't let Christmas cripple your joy in Christ with depression. How in the world can a person be depressed during this time of the year? The Andy Williams song, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year," is broadcast during the Christmas holidays. But do you know that it's a documented fact that more people suffer depression than at any other time of the year during the holidays? There's a number of reasons for that. Some people become depressed because they didn't get what they wanted for Christmas. Or perhaps the means are not there to provide those things which they want. Some become depressed because they got all they wanted, and after a day or two, they're just as miserable as before. Some become debt depressed when their first credit card or holiday loan payment comes due. Somehow, when the money has to be paid back, the few hours of fun at Christmas doesn't matter much anymore. You can't remember it so clearly. You have to work all year to pay for Christmas. And then, of course, some people become depressed remembering a loved one who has died. The danger of this type of depression is twofold. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we'll see this passage is violated when folks give to others so that they will be more loved or accepted. When others don't reciprocate, the giver who has given for the wrong reasons becomes depressed. I gave them something and they didn't give me something. Or look what I gave them, and look at this trinket that they gave me. You'd be surprised at the people that have that kind of attitude. It says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." When we give and expect in return, we're giving with the wrong attitude. Indeed, there's not a lot of joy in that. Because I will tell you, most times, people will let you down. Secondly, the depressed often turn against God. People will have the audacity to say, "Perhaps God doesn't even care anymore. Look at all that I've done. Look at the good that I've done. Look at what I've given." They think amongst themselves, some of them even so bold as to speak it amongst themselves, "If God cared, why do I feel so miserable?" Again, where's the focus? That's right. Blame God. You know you haven't done anything to bring this on to yourself. We need to destroy depression. Regarding the first two causes of depression, we need to refer back to our first point. If we refrain from greed, if we refrain from materialism, we won't be depressed if we don't get. We can destroy debt depression by avoiding debt. Your world nor that of your child will be destroyed just because you do not give your children as much as you would like to give them. I don't know a parent that has not faced the situation in which they would like for their child to receive more in life than they do. I have heard many parents say, I want my child to have more opportunities than I want them to have the opportunity to go to college. I want them to have the opportunity to go finish high school. I want them to have the opportunity to not have to work as hard as I have had to work. If your child does not receive the latest and greatest video game or player or whatever electronic gizmo is out these days, he may be disappointed, but he won't be destroyed. The only one of these four causes of depression that's even remotely justifiable is the fourth one. That is depression caused by remembering a deceased loved one. It is a hard thing, the first Christmas after the loss of a loved one. The first Father's Day after your father has passed away. However, even this kind of depression is dangerous. And it needs to be overcome. There are only two things I know that will help to overcome this depression. First and foremost, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, we read earlier, we learned that God is always with us. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. God is always aware of you. He's also aware of the problems that you face, the difficulties that you face in this life, and how you face them. He knows if we look to him for strength as we go to his word. However, sometimes when reminded of this during this type of depression, someone once said, sometimes we need somebody with skin on. Good way of looking at it. Sometimes we need other people to be compassionate toward us. It is true that we often seek comfort from our brothers and sisters during these depression times. And we can turn to others for help. But we do not get this help by calling on people and expecting them to jump to our benefit. The best way to overcome this kind of depression and to get help from others is by helping them. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, we see not only the instruction regarding this, but also an example has been placed before us. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It was not for Christ's benefit that he came and died on the cross. It was for your benefit and mine. Don't let Christmas cripple your commitment to Christ with other goals. While this world erroneously believes that Christmas draws them closer to Christ, it sometimes has the opposite effect. Sometimes it pulls Christians away from Christ. It does so in two areas of life, two very important areas of life, time and money. Christmas is a very busy time of the year. We have extra cooking. We have shopping. Sometimes we have to shop so we can cook. But we have shopping to maybe purchase for people. There's travel involved, sometimes visiting family. And when such is the case, there's not much time left for other things. Or so we think. Unfortunately, this means that Christ gets left out during this season. We see it all the time on bumper stickers, and people who will normally not put stuff like that in their emails will add, don't take Christ out of Christmas. Well, he never was there in the first place. But in this busy time, Christ often gets left out. During December, some do not take time to pray or study their Bibles. Why? After all, I got all this other stuff going on. During December, some do not take time to teach people the gospel. This is truly a tragedy. Stop and think about it. During this time of year, are people not more receptive to hearing about Jesus? When the Apostle Paul found himself in a place where they had all these altars, and it said on one of the altars to the unknown God, What did he say? He said, now this gives me an opportunity to preach about the unknown God. When people are open to hearing about Jesus, they may not like what you say. We have to be careful how we say it. But we help them to understand that God loves them. And because God loves them, he sent his son to die upon the cross so that they too could be children of God, just as we are. And then show them how to become children of God. Perhaps they will open up and listen. Why, some can't even find time to meet with the saints to worship. After all, we're traveling, we're cooking, we're running around to the stores when the specials are on. We don't have much time to spend with our family, do we? Why, some of them live halfway across the country, and when they come, well, we need to take every minute. Sometimes people ask the question, don't you think God will understand? I'm sure God will understand that we broke his law that we find in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, when not assembling with the saints because Aunt Mary came to visit. I'm sure God will understand that we broke his law when we put family ahead of him. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do not let Christmas control your life and cripple your commitment to Christ. That takes care of the time. Let's talk just for a minute about the money. Because of the expenditures which accompany present-day American Christmas celebrations, many Christians turn their wallets away from Christ. Why, after all, you've got all these aunts and uncles and nieces and cousins and brothers and sisters and all of these things need to buy. They spend so much money on gifts and food, they've got to cut back somewhere. Sadly, because creditors will call and elders will not, people began to not give. The contribution is one of the first things to get cut. With a promise that, you know, I'll take care of it the rest of the year. Sometimes it's not just December's contribution that is affected, but throughout the year. Remember those who take out huge Christmas loans? Those who max out the credit card so little Johnny can receive all of that which he desired, which he asked for? Their next year's contribution is used to make payments on those credit cards. Again, what's more important? According to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, we're to place God and the kingdom of God at the absolute first place in our lives. What does this say about us when a man-made celebration prevents us from serving God in all areas of life, in everywhere, in every place that we should? He says there in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We are supposed to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Yes, even before, during, and after these holidays. Make a commitment to Christ right now. Make a commitment that you will not lose your commitment to him through these holidays, or any others for that matter. It's important that we remain focused throughout the year, regardless of the holiday that's being celebrated by the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, the Apostle Paul, through inspiration, tells us how we can do this during this season, and indeed throughout the whole year. It is indeed a fact that you and you alone have control over your own thoughts and actions. This passage is more evidence of that. Here's how Paul did it, and how we can too. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The first part of that is what I want us to focus on. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. We make the choices as to what will be first in our lives. We make the choices as to whom we will serve. We make the choices as to what degree we will serve. Enjoy yourselves. Don't let Christmas cripple your Christianity. Rather, let your Christianity govern how you will enjoy this holiday. Have a great holiday season. But keep in mind the admonition we find in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, not just during the holidays, but throughout all of our life. Our Creator is to be the priority in our lives. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Just what does it mean to remember thy Creator? Well, I'm sure that it has something to do with what our Creator has provided for us, including instructions as how to spend eternity with Him. The greatest gift that I can give you, and the greatest gift that you can give anyone else, is the information from God's Word relative to the salvation of a soul. How can a person become a child of God? This cannot be purchased. In fact, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that eternal life is the gift of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. However, be aware that this gift has conditions associated with it, attached to it. These conditions are that one must be obedient and remain faithful in order to receive eternal life. Unto what must we be obedient, and how might we remain faithful? It is by doing what God tells us in His Word. In order to become obedient, we must do some things. We find in Acts chapter 10 and verse 33, the first thing that we do is hear. It says, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast done well that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. We are to hear that gospel. We are to believe, according to Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Therefore, after we hear the word of God, what we are to believe is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We are then to repent. Luke 13, 3 and 5 tells us, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Having heard, believed, and repented, a person should be willing and is commanded to confess. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But none of that is effective at all unless we are baptized into Christ. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Saul was asked, and now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We also see in accordance to Revelation 2:10 and other places that we are to remain faithful until death. The latter part of Revelation 2:10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Perhaps there are those who have allowed things of this life to come first in their lives, after having heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized into Christ. We need to realize and understand that if we have done so, we have separated ourselves from God and therefore are in a lost condition. If indeed we are in a lost condition, rejoice, because you still have time to fix it. How do we fix it? According to Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, a child of God who is an erring child of God, an erring Christian, is to repent and pray. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. Don't let Christmas cripple your Christianity. If you're not a Christian, become one today. If you are a Christian and you've allowed things to become between you and God, get rid of those things and reestablish that relationship with God. Won't you come and do so as together we stand and sing the invitation song?